Lord, we thank you that you are our hope. You are the light of the world. And Lord, as we sit together in your presence, thank you for ministering to each one of us, for touching our hearts, for drawing us closer to you, and for renewing our minds, Lord, that we will think like you think, and we will know what you are saying to each one of us individually. Thank you for every man, woman, and child you have brought to this place today. Thank you that your anointing is upon them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Once again, we welcome all our friends and guests and our River of Life family. And today, this morning, is the first Sunday of the Advent season, and we have lit our first candle, which is a symbol of hope, as we look forward to this season, mindful of the truth that Jesus Christ is our hope. And just to take a look at the word hope, I wanted to draw your attention to it. Because we're using it as a noun instead of a verb. And so I need you to think way back to elementary school when we learned that nouns are a person, place, and thing. Yes. Okay. And then a verb is an action word. And so when I use the word hope as a verb, I would use it like, I hope this isn't a rough winter. Or I hope you're enjoying your grammar lesson this morning. But when we use a word as a noun, we might think of it this way. The chemotherapy was her last hope for a cure. So another example is the title of the sermon today, Jesus, Our Hope. So people need hope. They need hope in times of darkness. And the hope is Christ. Because he said he'd never leave us, or would he ever forsake us. He'll never leave us alone. So the passage we're going to read in Isaiah talks about a world that's in darkness, a people who were in darkness, and they needed to hear from God. They hadn't heard from God. But this is the hope of the Messiah that is coming into the world. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. And we like to read our scriptures together, so let's all read it, please. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So Isaiah was prophesying about the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ. He was releasing hope to the Jews that their Messiah, a Messiah of hope, was coming, and that even the Gentiles would be drawn to him. Deep darkness is representative of not being able to hear God. You know, someday when God judges the world, there are those who will be cast out into deep darkness. And deep darkness is being separated from God. It's not being able to hear the voice of the Lord. It's not being able to understand what he's saying to us. There were people who were in deep darkness and they were in need of hope. And Isaiah began to prophesy, arise and shine. The word arise, it means to. It has various applications, but it means to decree. We've been learning how to decree on Wednesday night. Amen, class? We are to decree, we are to stand up, to confirm, to be clear, to make good, to lift up, to rouse up, to stir up, to strengthen. It also means to succeed. Arise. When the light of God shines upon you, when your hope comes, you will be successful. Arise and shine. The word shine means to be luminous. To set on fire, to shine. Stand up, began to decree the word of the Lord in your life, over your church, over the company that you work for, stand up and shine. Take a stand. Confirm the word of the Lord by the word of your mouth. That is our hope. Our hope is anchored in the word of God. According to Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 12, we have an anchor of the soul. Why do we need an anchor? Well, when you think about a boat, boats sit in the water, and water is constantly moving. You can't hold on to it. You can try to grab a handful of water, and how much is left in your hand? Not very much. And that is very representative to our lives. We can be tossed and turned and shifted about in the waves of life. But it is Jesus Christ, our hope, the very anchor of our soul that secures us. So people need hope in times of darkness, and people really need hope all the time. Amen? And one of my favorite psalms is my hope that Jesus Christ is my good shepherd. And that's Psalm 23. And it says, let's read it together. I believe it's up there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when we look at that, our shepherd provides for us what we need in this life. He's a good shepherd, and he watches over his sheep, and he knows what we have need of naturally, and the shepherd takes care of those things. We have hope that the shepherd is taking care of us and the details of our life. When we come under his care, it's all about getting into that place where we trust God, where we rely upon him, where we stop relying on ourselves, and we stop relying on the wisdom that we have, but we rely upon God and his wisdom and his counsel, because sometimes he'll ask us to do something that does not make sense to us. Is that the truth? But you know what? When we obey him, he will move heaven and earth to make you successful. Come on. Heaven and earth, he'll move. He'll take whatever he needs to do for you to succeed to fulfill his will in your life. He's our good shepherd. We shall not want. We will not lack any good thing. Let's read the next part of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. They comfort me. This is security and hope in eternity. When we step out of time, the time as we know it, into eternity, we will never step there alone, because Jesus Christ is there to take us by the hand. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have nothing to fear, because the Lord is with us. You see, he's our hope in this natural world, and he is our hope in eternity. Point number two. Throughout his ministry, Jesus Christ brought hope wherever he traveled. When Jesus does something for someone else, it gives you hope that he'll do it for you. Is that right? Because if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. Amen? So let's read through some of these miracles that happened in Matthew. Matthew 8. This is where Jesus cleansed the leper. The leper was crying out for Jesus to touch him. And this is what happened. Let's read it. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This man had an incurable disease, an outcast. He was rejected. And Jesus was not afraid to touch him. And Jesus was able to make him whole. There are some things in our world today, diseases that have been identified as incurable, and the doctors don't know what to do with them, and they will tell you there's no hope. But we know from this example that Jesus Christ is our hope, because just one touch from Jesus and the leper was cleansed. He was cleansed. Thank you, Lord. Every year we send an offering to India for the lepers. There's a leper colony that I was honored to visit several years ago when I was in India, probably 5 years now. And I was a little concerned about going. You know, you're going to the leper colony and you don't know what you'll see or what the living conditions are. And so I was a little apprehensive about that. But after spending an afternoon with the lepers, I was so blessed by their presence. Their toes were eaten off. Their fingers were eaten off. A lot of them just had nubs, you know, and were trying to walk around, get around. But they loved God. And we sang to them and they sang to us. And they had their instruments, and even though they didn't have fingers, they figured out a way to bang on things and to make a noise to praise the Lord. You know, they weren't going to let their leprosy stop them from praising God. And they didn't have comfortable seats to sit in. They were sitting on dirty cement floor, getting up and down with their nubs. We were honored last year. Some of the offering that we sent was used to make custom-made shoes for some of the lepers. Amazing. Amazing. We paid for a gate to gate off their little colony, because the wild pigs from the dump that is not far from the colony, the wild boars were running in. And they would come in at night and they would eat up their garden and their plants and things that they had stored. And so River of Life, the saints right here, gave the money to put a gate up to keep out the animals. Is that exciting? And we also helped finance the roof on their houses. They're long, it's just a long building of houses, and there's little compartments that they live in, but they had no roof over that. Well, they did have a roof, but it wasn't the kind of roof that they needed. And so we were blessed to be a part of that. So, and at the same time, church, they usually have enough money, finances, coming in from us to buy food for 3 months. 3 months. And so when Valerie Smith goes to India in January, we send money with her, and she oversees that, and the minister that oversees the colony, and the food is brought in, and it is stored there, and pictures are taken, and I think you probably remember pictures from the past. But I get really excited in December when I start thinking about giving to the lepers. Because we give to the least of these. We give to the least of these. The outcasts of the society. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go on and look at some more hope. We give them hope. You know that. The hope is in Jesus Christ. And when you have Jesus in your heart, you can't help but be generous. You can't help but be generous. Let's talk about Jesus healed the centurion's servant. Let's read that together. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion had a desperate cry. And sometimes we have a desperate cry. Is that right? But we know that God, Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to put himself out for the centurion and to go and heal his servant. But you know what? The centurion had so much faith in Jesus that he said, if you'll just send a word, I know my servant will be healed. So you see, when we trust in God, it's just a word. All he has to do is send a word to heal and to take care of that situation. Thank you, Lord. He gives hope. He gives hope. I'm sure people around the centurion thought, wow, if he'll do it for the centurion, he'll do it for me. Jesus is our hope. Then Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Let's read that passage. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. I think it's interesting that she got right up off her sick bed and began to serve. Is that awesome? When the Lord touches us, we need to get up and do something. We need to get up and bless somebody else when God touches us. She come right off that sick bed, right into serving. And all he did was touch her hand. It just takes one touch from Jesus. One touch from Jesus. God's healed. I know he's healed all of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. Right? At some time in your life, Jesus has touched you and healed you. Otherwise, you would be dead right now. Is that right? So we thank God for those touches. When we're laying on a bed with a fever, we thank God that he shows up. Amen? Okay, and then Jesus healed many who were demon-possessed. Let's look at that in Matthew. We're going. Do we have another slide? When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Thank you, Lord. With a word, just a word, he cast out the demons. With just a word, he healed the sick. The only hope for demonic oppression is the saving power of Jesus Christ. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Demons tremble at the blood of Jesus. The only hope to be delivered from demonic oppression, to be delivered from oppression, possession, is Jesus Christ. He is our hope. I loved it when Josh shared his testimony. It was in the summer he shared his testimony about how drugs had had a hold of him, and he could not get free from the stronghold that those drugs had on him, and he shared, he said, you know, they might say it's a diagnosis, but I say it's a demon. And when God set him free from that demon, he was free indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. He was free. Free from demonic oppression. In the name of Jesus. There is no name greater. Tell your neighbor there's no name greater than the name of Jesus. When we cry out to Jesus, he hears our cry. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's go to Matthew 8, 26 through 27. We were just talking about this in class on Wednesday night, how you can speak to the storm, speak to the weather. Let's see what it says. But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And we were sharing about Bishop Hammond and Jane and Tom when the hurricane was coming to the Panhandle area, how they drove around the property and they began to prophetically decree God's protection over their property. And you know, CI was spared, and God has used it as a headquarters for first responders and rescuers, and a food place and a drop, and people are getting saved. They've been baptizing the first responders. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they have just ministered to the community because God spared that place, and they have around 65 people spending the night in their building every night. And they're feeding all of these people. And the work goes on. It hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. You know, we don't hear about it on the news anymore, right? And so we kind of think it's over. But it's not over. There's a lot of work that is still being done down there. And God used Siena in just a marvelous way. He spared it. They opened their doors. And through that, they were able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure every one of those first responders have been prophesied to. Hallelujah. Because that's, we are CI, and that's what we do. Hallelujah. So even the wind obeys him. Nature obeys him. So let's go on to the next one. Jesus commanded the demons to come out of two men in this story. And he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesenes, right? There met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have you to do with you, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Next slide, please. And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Demons operate through people. They need a body to function, and they will look for a body to function in. And if you're open, they'll take advantage. And once they come in, the only way they will go out is by the name of Jesus. Jesus' name is greater than any demon force that we are facing today. Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, these men were being kept. They were fierce. Somebody was probably feeding them, though, had compassion on the demons. And you see, we've got to be careful we don't have compassion on demons. When people are demon-possessed, they need to be delivered in the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, the scripture says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Let's go on to point three. Jesus is our blessed hope. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. Let's read this together. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And one more. looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I read a illustration this week about a church father whose name was Jerome, and he translated Greek manuscripts into Latin. And this is what the illustration shared, and this is true. Jerome was a church father who translated the Greek manuscripts into Latin and put the Bible in the language of the people. He purposely lived in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And one night while living in Bethlehem, Jerome had a dream that Jesus visited him. The dream was so real to him that he collected all his money and offered it to Jesus as a gift. And the Lord said, "I don't want your money." So Jerome rounded up all his possessions and he tried to give them to Jesus. And again the Lord said, "I don't want your possessions." Jerome then recalled the moment in his dream when he turned to Christ and asked, "What can I give you? What do you want?" And Jesus simply replied, "Give me your sin. That's what I came for. I came to take away your sin. Give me your sin." Jesus Christ is our hope. He was born into this world to save us from our sins. What does he want from us? He wants us to confess our sins. Not to have any pride, but to confess our sins and to repent before him. And the scripture says that as far as the east is from the west, he'll forgive us of our sins. And then we owe him our life. Because we are redeemed with the blood of Jesus, we've been bought with a price. And from that moment on, we live for Jesus. We'll need to repent again. Tell your neighbor, you'll probably need to repent again. This is not a one-time deal, right? Does anybody notice we got to repent again? Yes. Probably every day. Maybe more than once a day. A few times. But the Lord is faithful. He's faithful. He'll forgive us. He wants us to do that. Okay, when Adam sinned, he ran and hid from God. He tried to hide. You see, God doesn't want us to hide, does he, Janice? No, he does not want us to hide. He wants us just to be open and confess our sin. He saw you do it anyway. He knew what you were thinking anyhow. So you can't get away with nothing with God. Tell your neighbor, you can't get away with nothing. God sees it all. He knows it all. Thank you, Lord. All right, what point are we on? Point four? Okay, thanks. Keep me on track here. We just finished up three. He's redeemed us from lawless deeds. Number four. Will you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your hope this morning? You know, psychiatrists tell us that Christmas season can be one of the most stressful times of the year. And I doubt if we really need a psychologist to tell us that, right? I think we already knew that without anybody telling us. But there are more depression diagnoses during the holiday season than at any other time of the year. And much of it is because people feel so alone. They feel alone. And our hope is Jesus came into the earth. He is Emmanuel, the God with us. And Dr. Dobson shared a story about an elderly woman who lost her husband and she was struggling with her first Christmas. And I just wanted to share this with you. Her husband had died just a few months prior from a slow developing cancer. And now several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal weather system, and she felt terribly alone. So much so, she decided she was not going to go down to the basement and get the box and bring up the decorations for Christmas. But late that afternoon, the doorbell rang, and there was a delivery boy with a box. And he said, "Mrs. Thornhope," that was her name, "Mrs. Thornhope." And she nodded. He said, "Would you sign here?" And she invited him to step inside and close the door to get away from the cold. And she signed for the box, and she said to the young man, she said, "What's in this box?" And the young man started laughing, and he set the box down, and he opened the flap, and inside was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. And the delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." Now, I think he stretched that a little bit. 6 weeks old, we are not housebroken. The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from captivity. And Mrs. Thornhope said, "Well, who sent this?" And the young man set the animal down and he handed her an envelope. And he said, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." And the young man then handed her a book on how to take care of a Labrador retriever. And in desperation again, she asked, "Who sent me this puppy?" And the young man returned to leave and he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." So she opened the letter and it was from her husband. He had handwritten that letter 3 weeks before he died. And he left it at the kennel to be delivered with the puppy. And Dr. Dobson said the letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishment to be strong. He vowed that he'd be waiting for the day when she would join him. And he had sent this puppy to keep her company. So she wiped away her tears, just like I need to wipe away mine. And she put the letter down, and then remembering the puppy at her feet, she picked up the golden furry ball and held him up to her neck. And then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house, and she heard from the radio in the kitchen strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And suddenly, she felt the most amazing sensation of peace wash over her. And her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than the grief and the loneliness. "Little fellow," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box in the basement, and I bet you'll like it. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations, some lights that are going to impress you. And there's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it." It's a beautiful story. Touched my heart when I heard him read it. What a beautiful story. And it demonstrates God sent his son into this world because we were so lonely and separated from him. But he sent his son to make a way for us to be able to come to the Father. And he said he'd never leave us alone. He is always with us. And we thank God for the kind acts of people around us, acts of kindness that remind us of how great God is, that we're not alone, that there are people who remember to pray for us. There are people who care about our children as if they were their own children. There are people that cry out in the middle of the night on our behalf. We're not alone. Tell your neighbor, you're not alone. Whatever you're going through this morning, you're not alone. There are people of God who are with you. God is with us, and we are with one another. As we journey through this life, we have hope, and we want to encourage one another of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has not received you as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Lord, that they ask you right now to be the Lord of their life. Thank you, God, that all you ask of us is to repent and confess our sins before you. Confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that you are the Son of God, that you came to earth, you died, and you rose again, and you are seated at the right hand of God, and you are praying for every single one of us to come to you. So this morning, Lord, we come and we thank you. We thank you for those that are sitting here this morning that have come for the first time, and for those that are renewing their commitment to you, Lord. This is a season of expectation, looking forward to the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank you for our River of Life family. Thank you for our friends, Lord, that we have come together this morning to celebrate the hope that we have, because you are our hope. You are all that we need. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.